Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by the Keystone Sports Network. As always, you can find all of our Penn State football podcasts on our website. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, or better yet, you can download the app, Keystone Sports, from the App Store on your phone. Not only do you get all of our content on the app, but you can also submit your questions for the upcoming Ask Ross, who is not here this week, but we'll talk about that later. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us, everybody. He's Bob Flounders. He's Penn State football beat writer for Penn Live and the Patriot News. I'm Andy Shea. We got a full hour of Penn State football for you. But it is the week of the big game. Bob, how you doing?
Well, I'm excited to see the Super Bowl. I really look forward to it. And I'm glad that Penn State has a minimal presence, both as a football. There's a football presence and there's an other sport presence, because Chris Hogan for the Patriots is a lacrosse player. But yeah, Stefan Wisniewski's in the game. I'm excited to see it, and I'm anxious to see in the coming years if some of these guys that Franklin's going to put into the NFL, like who's going to be playing?
Who's going to be playing?
The Patriots ain't going. I mean, the window is closing. I don't care what Tom Brady says; it's closing. So it's time for some fresh blood. I was actually rooting for Paz and the Jaguars,
because
I just don't know how much gas is left in Paz's tank. An inside linebacker that can't really cover the pass.
Right.
He's 10-year vet, but what a career! It would have been neat to see him at the Super Bowl.
So a third member of our team, that would be Mr. Ross Tucker. He's on assignment in Minnesota.
I believe
he's
eating
week.
At the Super Bowl.
You're seeing
You're
seeing the same thing on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL. If you go to his Twitter, every time I pull up my Twitter on my timeline this week Ross appears on it, he's eating. That's literally
it's a dirty job. By the way, I have not seen anything from him about the Juicy Lucy yet. He was whining about it, about how he's going to go, and he's all over. I know he's busy, and I think he was at dinner. I think someone took a shot. Ed McCaffrey took a shot at him because they went to a steak dinner, and after the steak dinner, he ordered a big plate of meatballs and ate them. And Ed McCaffrey was like, "Who does that?"
Well, every time 409 Tailgate Club brings us barbecue for lunch, who goes back for seconds?
I don't want him to come back here and say he didn't have any time to get to the Juicy Lucy because he was out there for a week.
I know. I saw some peanut butter
donut. You make time for it.
With thick cut bacon on it.
You
make
time for the Juicy Lucy.
But yeah. So anyway, we're sticking to Penn State football. We got a full hour for you this week. We kick off our show with some news and notes. Bob and I are going to chat about signing day part two in quarter number two. Ask Ross. Bob, you're going to pinch hit answering the questions this week. And in the final quarter, we'll talk about some guys, four guys that are coming up. Maybe we'll do that in quarter number two.
Yeah, we're gonna take a look at the Penn State defensive line, specifically the ends. And
let's do that in quarter two.
Yeah, we'll do that in quarter two. Who are the guys that maybe are positioned to have possible breakout years? It's a pretty deep group. They play a lot of guys, a couple guys you know about, a couple guys just got their feet wet. Who are the guys that maybe could take a big leap this year?
So let's start some news and notes this week. Let's talk about Penn State's coaching staff. There was some late breaking news last week that Penn State secured former Florida, former West Virginia, former Marshall position coach Jay Wonsider. He's an outstanding recruiter. He is going to coach the running backs. I think the one thing I want to bring up, and then you can have the floor, I think there was a little, with Josh Gattis leaving and going to Alabama, I think that was a little quick and sudden. I think it, and having to hire another coach, I think it caused James to maybe shake some things up that he really wasn't planning.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a ripple on the pond because the Bills fired their offensive coordinator and hired Brian Daboll, I believe is his name, from Alabama, who is very well thought of. And that forced Saban to promote Mike Locksley from, I think it was pass game coordinator, wideouts coach to OC.
Right.
So they had an opening for a wideouts, and that's where that happened late. So he took Gattis, and he's obviously thrilled to have him.
Yeah, he should.
James had to scramble. I just think when you look at the way that James was able to pull his staff together, I bet you he will address this. He's going to say he felt fortunate that the coaches that he had were flexible enough to kind of switch. You know, Ricky Ronnie has coached the tight ends. He's coached the quarterbacks. Now he's the OC. You know, Matt Limegrover has some experience as like he was an assistant head coach and he was also an OC at Minnesota. Corley was hired to coach the running backs, but he has a wide receiver coach background from his previous stops, and this guy wants to coach running backs, I think, only. Or that's what he's good at, and recruit.
Had
he not had the flexibility, I don't know that this guy would have been the guy that they hired. So I bet you James feels fortunate that he was able to pull it all together.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
And they did need to get a really good recruiting guy on that offensive side, losing Gattis.
They did, and they got that with Sider. Yeah, I really think they do. He's one of those guys that the real, real deep recruiting Knicks say is one of those top 10 assistants in the country that can really deliver the goods on the recruiting front.
Plus he knows the South.
And yeah, plus he knows the South. That's a good point. I think David Corley ending up as the wide receiver coach, he's replacing Gattis, kind of, not really. But to me, that's the sort of, if you're really deep on paying attention in terms of talent development and the position coach and what they're doing, because Gattis did a great job developing these guys. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, he did. I mean, it was if you think about it, Godwin was really a Billy O'Brien recruit, but once he got there,
correct.
Josh did some more. I think you got to give Josh credit for, you know, Deshaun Hamilton, his resurgence. Juwan Johnson, obviously.
Absolutely.
I mean, there were some things that I'll never know. We'll never. It's like one of the great mysteries of Penn State football. Saeed Blacknall. I don't know what happened. We're never going to know. It's like, you know, something. I think the answer to that is somewhere in the Bermuda Triangle. Why he never developed. You know, planes go in there and they never come out. Saeed might have went in there after the Big Ten championship game. He never completely came out. But I'll just be curious to see if he even gets a sniff with regard to the NFL draft.
Do you think he's an NFL-type receiver, talent-wise?
I think Saeed is talent-wise, but, I mean, the thing about the wide receiver position is eventually, unless you're going to be Megatron, you got to be able to block.
Right.
I mean, and some of these guys, maybe I don't know if maybe that had something to do with it, and there was probably some off-the-field issues. But anyway, we're going to move this along, get some other things on the plate here.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by the Keystone Sports Network. We are on air, online, and on TV with Fox 43. When it comes to Penn State football, we have got you covered. Bob Flounders, I'm Andy Shea. We're in quarter number one of our show this week. We're doing some news and notes. Let's talk about the Senior Bowl. So Christian Campbell came out at the end of it as the sort of D-back of the week, mm-hmm. according to the guys at Pro Football Focus. But he didn't – did he play in the game?
Didn't play. Put out a message on Twitter saying he had a great – he really enjoyed his practice week. He thanked everyone. He said he's not going to – I think he had a bit of an injury.
Yeah, that sounds like a slight something.
Yeah,
and no.
You make your hay not in that game. You make it on the practice field. He was praised for his work. I'll just say one thing. It does kind of draw, though, a little bit of a spotlight on Christian – and the injury factor, because he dealt with injuries quite a bit during his Penn State career. It was
correct.
Great. He was able to stay healthy for the senior year. But sophomore and junior year, and you remember he came in with Haley. They both played as true freshmen.
Yep.
And, you know, the thinking at the time was Penn State had found, really, their corners moving correct. Forward. And they were not highly recruited kids. They played as special teams guys. And Haley continued to develop because he could stay healthy. Christian had a lot of, I think, things that held him back. And now, again, so if you're an NFL team, I think you got to view his upside and his athleticism, but you also have to – is he going to be a guy that can practice? And what's he going to look like during a 16-game NFL season?
The thing that I look at it from the flip side is he lost two seasons for the most part to injury, that he's really in his third year, and he's just starting to scratch the surface to a degree. I'm looking at it the other way.
Sure.
The injuries are part of it, but, I mean, he's becoming one of the most intriguing. Anything on the other guys before we hop out of this real quick?
I think I just thought it was interesting. So Bill O'Brien was coaching in that game,
mm-hmm.
and he was heavily involved in the recruitment of some of these guys, like Mike Gesicki,
hugely involved.
Gesicki, Marcus Allen, He probably knew all these guys and probably had a little bit of a – I was curious to see if he pulled any of those guys aside, especially, you know, how he loves tight ends. I had heard there was a little bit of a coaching conversation with Mike, and I just wonder if that was a little bit surreal for Bill, you know, because it probably reminded him of his days as a recruiter,
right.
Which is I don't think anything he really enjoyed.
Nope.
But it was just part of the job.
So, all right, we got a couple more minutes left before we get out. And here, this is interesting, and you talked about it last week, and it was funny. Boom, then the news comes out this week. You said that Penn State needs to be done with sort of using scholarships on kickers.
Yeah.
And don't they add a kicker as a preferred walk-on? Pennsylvania kid, Hollidaysburg kicker, Vlad Hillig.
Yeah.
He's a kicker. He's a preferred walk-on, yeah. But they've added him to the 2018 class. But you really think the position Penn State is in now, that this is the way they have to go with kickers and punters?
I mean, I think you're probably talking about every year two or three like blue chip kickers.
Correct. I don't disagree.
So yeah. So I just think that I think when James and his staff got there, I think the cupboard was so bare that they had to kind of designate some scholarships for some kickers and go and put a full court press out there for some kickers. But I think in this day and age, if you can get two or three invited walk-on kicker place kickers that you really like, you only have to be right on like one of them.
You only have to get one right. Like if you only have to offer up some scholarship
money
to one.
If you can bat 333, I mean, I just think that's the way to go. Because it's really hard, I think, to distinguish who's going to be able to do it in a high school game and who's going to be able to do it at the Horseshoe.
Right. That's a big difference. The other preferred walk-on that Penn State added to its 2018 class, and I kind of like this one, it's Colin DeBuff, the lineman from State College. He's the third State College guy from this football mm-hmm. team. One's a 2019 kid. He's going to be on scholarship.
Yep.
And it's the second preferred walk-on from State College High's football team. He's 6'6", 280.
Okay. My first thought was Kenny Longsnap, because that's usually what you're looking for in preferred walk-on. I know it's a specialty job, but if you're 6'6", 280, chances are those guys are much thinner.
Yeah.
So he's probably – good for him. I think he's got a long road ahead of him when you go that route, especially with what they're building there. But good for him. And, you know, like I say –
he's got the frame.
He's got to be patient.
James looks for a frame.
He's got to be patient, and obviously he must be a big Penn State fan.
Yeah, he's only 17, too. He doesn't turn 18 till July, so he's a young buck. Mm-hmm. And he gained 30 pounds between his junior and senior year. So he's a late bloomer. So, all right, that'll do it for quarter number one. Stick with us. Bob and I will be right back for quarter number two. Hang around.
Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can. When you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.